Make yourselves comfortable. My master will be with you shortly.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go. Welcome to Nightwise.com.
Nightwise.com.
Tune tech to your way of life and let the technology work for you.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go, and you found it. Welcome to Nightwise.com, the one and only podcast with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Whether you're a Windows, Mac, a Linux, an iOS, an Android, or a Symbian user, or perhaps you, I don't know, use Amiga OS, we have the stuff you need to tune tech into your way of life and let the technology work for you. My name's Nightwise. For the coming 60 minutes, I'll be your host on this episode of the Nightwise.com podcast, entitled The Best of Story Time. Welcome to KW 406. I always forget the numbers. Not really, really important right now. What we do have is a great show. If you want to find out more to everything that we talk about, you can go over to our website, www.nightwise.com. That's KNIGHTWISE.com, where you'll find the links to everything we talk about and the Nightwise.com media feed. Subscribe to this feed and get all of the Nightwise.com content, the Nightwise.com podcasts and the upcoming video podcasts delivered straight to your MP3 player or podcatcher, or perhaps you're still listening on a Walkman. Could be. Unlikely, but could be. And you'll get everything delivered to you automatically, letting technology work for you. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. Feedback@nightwise.com for classic email. Nightwise.com/Twitter if you want to find us on Twitter. Nightwise.com/Facebook if you want to find us on Facebook. Nightwise.com/Google+ all one word if you want to find us on Google+. And Nightwise.com/IRC if you want to hang out in a very personal chat room and do some live conversations with people that are oot and aboot enjoying Nightwise.com and tuning tech into your way, into their way of life, and perhaps into yours, depends how good you are, you know, together in a relationship or as friends, or I don't know where this is going. Hey guys and girls, how are you? This is weird. I am actually recording the show and doing the show live. Decided to give Google Hangouts a try. And I must say, I am actually quite freaked out or weirded out with the fact that I am actually doing the recording on the left, which is a very routine job for me, recording the podcast. It's something that's in my routine, something I'm known to, something I'm comfortable with. And then at the same time, looking at a live audience when I take a look at the screen, because this is a Google Hangout that is also available on YouTube. So, hey, how have you been? I hope you are enjoying the end of December. And since it's, I think, December 18th today or something, perhaps the end of the world. It's the 19th. I don't know. I can't remember. End of the world coming up. A lot of buzz about that. I think it's a little bit hyped. The year 2000 thing was just about the same. And to be quite honest, I'll be probably disappearing from the internet at that day because it's going to be hell on Facebook. But that's not what we're here to talk about. Welcome to this week's show, KW 407, if I'm not mistaken. Story time, or the best of story time. We got some interesting stuff for you today. We've got some nice stories for you today, and we got a very special episode of Story Time. That will all be explained, why that is and how that is and what you will hear and how you can actually contribute to what you're about to hear. Sounds very interesting. Let's get into the meat of the matter.
Thank you.
Story time. That time on the Nightwise.com podcast where you who likes to listen to us recant stories of long gone or of recent times and just close your eyes, sit back and enjoy. It's about stories that we want to talk to you today. This week's podcast is centered around stories. These stories come from a book. I'm working on a book called On the Edge. On the Edge is a collection of 65 stories from 8 years of Nightwise.com. I selected 65 stories from the website and some unpublished material that I still had lying around, and I put it in a ebook. That ebook is going to go onto the iTunes store, I believe, in January when I can get it all fixed and done, but it is also available for you. How can you get the book? How can you get a personally signed digital copy of the book? Very simple. Help us. Nightwise.com is a free podcast, and we don't charge any money. We don't charge any fees. We don't have sponsors, and we don't have ads. But that means that we pay all the bills, including the hosting bill. And that one's coming up at the end of the year, $240, and we would like to get your help doing this. And it's not for nothing. If you donate anything above 50 cents, okay, let's say a dollar, you will get a signed copy of the book before it's released to the iTunes store, before it's available online. That is something that we want to do back for you because you help out the show. Already, some of our listeners have donated. I mentioned some of the donators last week. This week, I think Larry Bushy and Steve McLaughlin came to the rescue and chucked over some cash, and we really, really thank them for it. I'm currently working on the final stages of the book with the help of Nightwise.com superhero Gerard, also known as Mona Mona, who is helping me with the layout. But I've collected all the stories. I'm working on all the layouts right now, and I am really looking forward to letting the book go live at the end of the year, and especially as a very special preview to those who have donated to the show. So, in this week's story time, I have three stories for you. And they are not about technology. They are about the absence of technology, because it's the holidays and we get to do something different. So let go of the raging rush of tech for just a second and listen to these three stories. We have Sansevierius at Light Velocity. We have The Epiphany of Creativity. And we have a little story on what it's like to have no technology with you at all. Three stories. Time to close your eyes, sit back, and enjoy, because it's story time. Sansevierius New Light Velocity, published July 23rd, 2011. It is more by accident than by choice that I've ended up in this peculiar establishment. The initial idea to walk into town and have my coffee at my regular place was cut short by the hand of somebody's god as the heavens opened up and released a substantial amount of rain my short attire was not suited for. So, save for the prospect of drowning while standing up or hopping into this artifact of a cafe, I chose the latter. The actual bar in this cafe must have had its aesthetical highlights somewhere in the late 70s, for its brown wood and yellowed white surfaces will without any doubt come into fashion again somewhere in 2035. Until then, it bides its time, covered by kitsch-like knick-knacks and last year's calendar. Five men make up the patrons of this establishment, none of them under the age of 50. Their cell phones probably only chiming in monotone ringtones. The ashtrays on the worn-down tables with their tacky aluminum legs betray this is the last outpost for the nicotine-loving addicts. As they fumble their umpteenth cigarette butt into the tray, they curse the government for banning smoking in bars and peer out the window. Outside, the rain falls onto wet and filthy streets, making the view as appealing as watching an old dog retch. Far gone are the tropical temperatures of yesterday. Today, the weather paints the perfect backdrop of oblivion that is so present in the eye of the old man who beholds it. It's like time gave up in here, its relentless pace having slowed down to a crawl somewhere in the 80s. Only the view outside and the attire of some of the guests make it obvious that the third millennium is ready to start puberty. There are no computer screens. There is not even the digital display of a clock to break the analog singularity of this intriguing place. One could imagine this cafe moving through space at light speed. The perception of time dilated by velocity so close to the impossible. As relative time outside appears to speed up, the constant tick of the wall clock seems to slow down, lagging down the reality inside to a cigar-smoked singularity. I sit inside and revel in its unintentional authenticity, tapping away at a device that will only be considered common knowledge to these people somewhere in the latter half of the coming year. I snicker because I kind of feel like a time traveler, trapped in this pocket of the past amidst the turmoils of the present. Slowly, the man across from me folds his newspaper and leaves behind an empty glass of red wine. He swaggers tentatively towards the exit, leaving his cash on the counter as he leaves. The bartender bids him farewell in the heavy dialect of this region. The world I know seems light years away in these surroundings, but I can live with that for now. My portable companion tries in vain to pick up a stray Wi-Fi signal to connect to cyberspace. But this, the picture of Laurel and Hardy on the wall seems to speak, is hyperspace. This is a temporal bubble moving at velocities far, far faster than light, the temporal distortion transforming the present into a far-flung future. It's a strange sentiment offered by a pair of comedians who sowed so much laughter in the dark days of black and white. The Sansevierias. The plants in the windowsill. Their leaves covered with old nicotine, smoke, and they claw at the gray sky. Their sharp ends making them resemble an alien claw that tries to grasp the fleeting clouds. At a nearby table, a middle-aged couple that just walked in share a clumsy, awkward attempt at romance. The sharp shreds of their past protruding dangerously from every word they speak, from every touch they share. They seem to find comfort in this temporal fold of space and time, the mismatched and outdated surroundings resembling a time where they were younger and free from the scars of oblivion. The dissipating clouds seem to trigger my recall signal into the temporal reality. As the sun starts to reflect on my far too glossy touchscreen, I am reminded that I have some errands to attend to. With mixed emotions, I prepare to leave, choosing to ignore the discreet stare from some of the guests. Yet it leaves me to wonder who is the most fascinated by whom. I vow to return to this temporal anomaly again, for I have grown fond of how it is able to slow down the past and fast pace of my reality, and it gives me the time to appreciate the Sansevierias. Creativity. An epiphany of creativity posted April 30th, 2007. On distant shores of countries far, far away, words floated back and forth yesterday. As the blue water crashed endlessly against the white cliffs, my vision floated, like the seagulls, over the pale blue skies. Within and beyond my sight lay only infinity and a thought that all these people walking the grassy lands and enjoying the wonders of nature will be gone someday. That they are but specks on the windshields of eternity. The cry of a passing gull blown away by the endless wind of time. When one looks up and sees the scale of things, the microscopic event called the human lifetime versus the punctualities of the sea, one does wonder. I looked up from the keyboard yesterday, looked away from the puny world that is called humanity and its digital progress, and looked around me. I gazed into the stark blue eyes of the horizon and listened to philosophical thoughts carried to me over the wind. Thoughts that seemed to come from far away and yet were very familiar. Thoughts and feelings that had been lost in the maelstrom of my life. And these thoughts lifted a weight that was on my shoulders, something that has been dragging me down for months. Dark days of last, the burden of progress, the weight of technology, the digital doom, call it what you want. It has been all around me over the past year. Life on the edge of real and cyberspace has been replaced by a life dominated by cyberspace. Shoulders weighed down by the demands of others for support and help. A back burdened with keeping in touch with recent events and staying on top of the ball. Hands grasping the fleeting sands of failing operating systems that needed to be salvaged. Feet stuck in the mud of an overloaded calendar. A cyber citizen, a digital wizard, heaving heavily under the weight of his own potions. Technology was not something that worked for me. Somewhere along the road of last year, I have become enslaved by it. Thoughts crushed out by constant incoming communication, silence blasted away by incoming phone calls, concentration obliterated by the myriad of things to be done. Peace of mind burdened by the stress of having to keep up. The thin ice of one's personality cracking under the pressure of it all. On distant shores, they say, somebody can be crushed under the weight of work. Of things to do, things to keep up with, things to conform with. Where the pressure of being in high demand turns the air we need to breathe into a damp, oppressive stream that is hard to gulp down. Where we try to grasp too much, try to conform and say yes to every demand. Find ourselves dancing to the same corporate beat of having to perform, to do, to sell, to fix, to please. Yesterday, I started to see just what I was doing. If conflict is the motor of progress, we shall blame it on its bittersweet head. I dragged myself upstairs to our silent attic and started to write. Not to type, but to write. The light of a single bulb pierced the darkness, the sound of a pen dancing over a piece of paper that floated through the silence. And words came. No, words came back. Soon the words scattered over one piece of paper after the other. It was like a doorway to the past had been kicked open because I remembered the writing style that I used to use. I recollected the lyrical equations. I looked into the eyes of the writer and it were my own eyes. This is how I used to write. This is how I used to be before I was pushed away from myself by the pressures of modern day life. The next day was the final key to unlock it all. An escape from reality without emails, cell phones, or any means of communication. Just my love and I in a country where they do not speak our tongue. And slowly, the thoughts came back. Watching nature, bouncing my thoughts off the wall of knowledge she has of me. Reflecting who I've become versus who I was, and trying to find out just why things have changed so much. Creativity in order to state who we are, because at the bottom of the ocean lies a drop of truth. The key to this myriad of troubles that has been haunting me the last few months, my very core buckling under the pressure of my own choices to please everyone. Say yes to almost every request. Forgotten who I was in favor of what I do, drowning out the one thing that makes us who we are, that sets us aside from the beat of the marching drum, that gives us the color in the shades of everyday gray, our own creativity. For setting free the art that lives inside us is just what makes us who we are, what lets us add our own touch of color to the perpetual sunset of life. The only thing that lets us define ourselves in a world that wants us all to be the same is that very creativity. And that is something I found no more in myself. I became conform. I said yes and thank you. I forgot that what we do in life is not what we have to do and who we have to be. For in order to be happy, one needs to vent its own creativity. Tribute to the three words, I say, veritas, passio, et diversitas. Inscribed not only on the back of my dear iPod, they are the words that are the cornerstone of who I am. Veritas, be true to yourself. Be honest in what you say and do. Passio, do with passion or leave it be. Diversitas, never be pinned down to one thing. Redefine yourself ever so often and surprise others and yourself with the dynamic nature of your personality. Looking back at the last few months, I've seen little of these words in my own lifestyle, and now I see the cracks that have been crawling throughout my own happiness. In order for the things to thrive, they somehow must adapt to their surroundings, and yet they must also stay true to who they are. A difficult tightrope that must be walked, yet it must be done. So that is why I write these posts. In 21 days, one can change, they say. Keep something up for 21 days and it becomes the habit. So I'll try. In 21 creative posts to find back the way that was lost. A little battle against the tides of modern life to make me think about what I want and how I want my creativity to reemerge. And perhaps to inspire you as well. Absence of technology. Posted September 27th, 2006 on Nightwise.com. It seems a long time ago. Somehow it is. It's like another world, another time, and yet only 12 years have passed. A book review is what started it all off. My girlfriend at the time had to do a book review for school and asked me if, since I liked to read a lot, would want to do that book review for her. agreed, of course, and pretty soon the book Summer 17 was on my nightstand. A book about a 17-year-old boy who bought a bike and went on a solo trip to Santiago de Compostela in Portugal. The story intrigued me, enchanted me, mesmerized me. As the writer described the rolling hills of Belgium, the golden plain of the French Massive, and of course the spectacular Alps, all by himself, the boy circled through an amazing adventure that was not about the destination, but about the journey itself. When I closed the book, I remembered looking up and saying to myself, "This is something I have to do." 3 weeks later, I had a holiday coming up, and just like that, I decided I was going to embark on my own journey. True enough, Santiago de Compostela was a bit far, but a look at the map offered me a very interesting alternative. The coastline in the north of France offered me an interesting route from a possible starting point in the Belgian harbor town of Ostend, all the way down to the French Le Havre, just above the Normandic coast. It was May 1995, and the world was mine to explore. So, 3 weeks later, I was packed. Borrowing my brother's mountain bike, packed with saddlebags full of clothes, and even a tent for emergencies, I was off towards the big adventure. Me, my bike, and the unknown. And it were different times. The only piece of technology that I had packed into my gear was a Walkman and a collection of mixed tapes to form the soundtrack of my adventure. No cell phones, no email, no GPS, nothing. Only me. The static hiss of analog tapes, music, and the great unknown. And that great unknown came to me surprisingly every day. It was in the eyes of every stranger, waiting behind every rolling hill, dancing in the shadows of the morning sun. I remember the second day of my journey that took me from Calais to Boulogne, an 85-kilometer trip along two of the most magnificent cliffs of La Côte Opale. "Vous allez au Boulogne?" the old man said when I asked him for direction how to leave the city center of Calais. "Oui," I replied. "Ça monte, ça descend, monsieur," he chuckled, indicating that the flat terrain was not going to be on the menu today. As he pointed his crooked finger at the red line on my map indicating La Route de la Côte, the first drop of rain drizzled down on the transparent plastic covering the map. Half an hour later, I had crossed the adjacent town of Songat and was faced with a monstrous climb up La Cap Blonnet. As the mist had rolled in from the Atlantic, the sight was absolutely intimidating. As far as the eye could see, there was only the rolling meadows, desolate and deserted, huddled under the cold and wet blanket of the morning fog. Ahead, the asphalt road twisted like a sick anaconda into the horizon, writhing and twisting up and down and left and right in its blackened wetness. At the summit of the enormous mount stood the statue mounted at the top of Cap de Blonnet, a gigantic black marble spear pointing into the grey abyss of cloud and fog. Defining the very desolate and lonely feeling that crept through my bones, I dug my head into the ground and started pumping the pedals to face this desolate landscape, alone. An hour later, a speck of blue was to be seen pushing itself up the deserted road, mounting the desolate cliff, surrounded by fog and rain. Me, in my blue riding gear. An infinite speck in nature's impressive painting. My rain gear had perhaps protected me from the brunt of the rain. Whatever motivation I had left was washed out by the mounting climbs and pouring rain. Or it had been blown away by the gale winds of a sea I could not see. I stopped, almost at the summit of the cliff, and parked my bike against a shrub. Shoes soaked, feet wet and cold and feeling thirsty yet drenched at the same time. It was time to take five. I turned around to face the distance I had covered and sat down on a rock because I was just about ready to give up. What had I got myself into? I was a good 450 kilometers from home, amidst of nowhere, unprepared for what I was facing. I might as well have bought a wetsuit to keep me dry. I was feeling cold, hungry, soaked, and miserable. But then the beauty of it all struck me. I was there, a mere human in a landscape that was devoid of another soul for hours and hours to go on end. No cars, no humans, nothing. Just the immense landscape, the fog, the rain, the wind, and me. And in all of its desolate perversion, the landscape enchanted me, letting me feel what it meant to feel small. Sitting there with no means of communication, no transportation except my trusty bike, an action radius of 100 kilometers a day, totally vulnerable, isolated, and absolutely loving it. I sensed the magic of being alive, the sensation of how one's sense of distance expands when technological means of mobility are no longer there. How one's hearing sharpens to detect the sonnet of the faintest seagulls on the invisible horizon when there is no iPod to give you any tunes. How one feels in tune with the immediate world around him when modern means of communications are no longer there. At that very moment, I felt awe for the world all around me and had found an inner peace that had been absent and has been absent ever since. The raging pulse of the world today, the digital roller coaster we ride, the very edge of real and cyberspace was nowhere to be seen. I was completely alone, experiencing the infinite analog adventure of being alive on planet Earth. That's all we have time for this week on Nightwise.com. I do hope that you enjoyed these three stories that were, lacking technology, that were digitally challenged, that were full of analog stuff and things and feelings and nature and, oh, God forbid, people and the big blue room we call outside. Well, it's just a little bit of what to expect in the book that's coming out in On the Edge. We've got 65 stories in there ranging from 8 years of Nightwise.com. And you'll see some stories in there from when I was a young little Nightwise who wrote about just about everything until I was the technological demigod that will help you slide from operating system to operating system. It's a little bit of a history, but I hope it's a nice read. I hope. I mean, you listen to it if you're interested. You know what to do. Just donate to the show. Send us some cash. You can use the PayPal button on Nightwise.com and we will send you a personally, digitally signed version of the book with a little bit of a text in it, dedicating it and signing it over to Chuck Norris for saving the internet or something like that, whatever you want. So, if you want to get in touch with us, you can. www.nightwise.com, KNIGHTWISE.com is, of course, the place where we have daily articles about what's going on the edge of real and cyberspace and filled with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks like you. And you can also send us feedback at nightwise.com for an email. Nightwise.com/Twitter for Twitter, Nightwise.com/Facebook for Facebook, Nightwise.com/Google Plus for Google Plus, and Nightwise.com/RRC if you want to chat with us. This recording of this episode will also be available on Google Plus or on our YouTube channel somewhere in the coming of next week, probably before the show is aired. So if you want a sneak peek behind the scenes of how a Storytime episode is recorded, you can just go over there. I'll put a link in the show notes. Next week, probably no show with the holidays and Christmas and stuff like that. But, you know, you got your fix today and you know, just spend time with your family or with all of the geeky toys that you get for Christmas. I don't know. Have fun. Peace on Earth. I hope that the world doesn't end September or December 21st. Probably won't. And we'll see each other whether or not we will have a giant asteroid hitting the Earth or an earthquake or God knows the next Justin Bieber album. That would be considered a end of the world event. If all of that does not happen, we'll see you guys on the flip side and girls on the edge of real and cyberspace. So until then, have great holidays. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode and we'll be back in the coming season. Oh, yes, new season with Nightwise.com video episodes. So stay tuned for that. We are working behind the scenes. I will see you guys again soon. Bye-bye now.
Been listening to the Nightwise.com podcast, the show with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Send your feedback, questions, or start your own personal flame war by contacting us directly on feedback@nightwise.com or following us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+. You can support the show by sharing it with your friends or writing us a nice iTunes review at www.nightwise.com/iTunes. Or, if you have some credits to spend, click the PayPal button on the Nightwise.com website to help us pay the bills. Just remember, there is real life outside cyberspace! But it's not all that important.